This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Angie, I thought this morning we could tidy up some in-jokes.
That is actually a very good idea, Pat. Let's do a little sort of a bit of a housekeeping tidy up. Check in.
Bit of a roundup.
Hello. Is everybody with us? Does everyone know? Does everyone have a clue what we're actually talking about a lot of the time?
No, because we don't. But at least we could maybe try and say why we say certain things.
Yes. No, that is a good idea, Patty. Yes, I like that. I like that a lot.
So, Ange, obviously, if you're new here, welcome. We love the fact that you found us. However you found us, we're now talking directly to you. If you've been here since the beginning, this is not for you. This is a message purely for the newbies.
We're
so happy you're here. Thanks for finding us. Thanks for sticking around. Ange, I know that the podcast artwork says Finding the Funny with Ruth and Ange. Ange calls me Patty. Nobody really knows why. That's it.
Exactly. That's all we can say about that.
And I will sometimes call her Pat's back.
Yeah.
Weird, I know.
Yeah. Welcome to our brains / minds. We are very strange.
I will also often call her Angie.
Yes, she does call
which
me
isn't
Angie.
Which isn't as hard to get your head around because it's just an extension of your name. I mean, Patty is nothing like Ruth, is it?
No, but I think for anyone who has ever met you IRL in real life.
You don't say I look like a Patty because I don't.
No, not look like a, but I think you are just, I think of you now as more of a Patty than I do as a Ruth. In fact,
yeah,
and there was a point in my life when I have to refer to you as Ruth. Or, you know, if I'm communicating with someone that wouldn't have a clue if I put Patty in there, so I have to put Ruth. I just find it weird.
But this is coming from the person who for a big chunk of my life has called me Chibi Mulan. So
well,
I obviously also look like a Chibi Mulan. Anyway, that's the Patty thing.
Yes.
We will often say, instead of a couple of weeks, we will often say,
Carloweeks. We also love an Exactly. We love one of those. We love chucking
those
around.
We throw exactly round.
Yeah.
If you're new, some people then say, what is dickish behaviour? Dickish behaviour is something that you have identified either in yourself. And I want to be very clear that Ange and I have both been in dickish behaviour on a number of occasions.
Yeah. And we'll be in
if somebody has bought us a dickish, we are well happy to say I do this.
100%. Yeah, I mean, you know, any of this shit that we bring is either about us or stuff we see in ourselves that we go, oh my God, I can't believe I did that.
That is an absolutely dickish
thing to do.
That is dickish.
Or it's stuff we see in other people that we think, do you know what? Let's have a chat about that. Do other people do this? Yeah.
Is it us that are being dickish because we don't do it? That's often been a big one, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Like, is this dickish? Exactly. We've done that.
Is this dickish?
We have done that all the time.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit that we do that is very dickish. And we're just highlighting that and saying, do you know what?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it's dickish behaviour? Or do you
we
not?
We are dicks.
Yeah. We are
so
very,
there's a couple of, there's
very dickish.
There's a whistle, very dickish.
There is
a whistle stop tour into some of our in jokes.
Yes. And please come along and be part of the in jokes.
Oh, honestly, we're so happy you're here. I do have a question for you though, Ange.
Oh, yes. Okay, Patty. Yes.
What is absolutely no go banned for you on a roast dinner? What is something that people will have that you are like, no, that does not belong on a roast? No.
Well, I think the thing that shouldn't ever be on your plate as part of a roast dinner is mashed tare.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Why do people do that? Why do people have roast potatoes and mashed potato?
Yeah.
Like, mashed potato, as far as I'm concerned, is only something you should have with Sausages. There's another little word that we quite often say.
Sausages.
Which is obviously a sausage. Yeah, I think obviously. Your mash goes with your sausage, goes with your... what else does mash really get? Or like a casserole.
Yes.
You know, the mash, yeah. That's where your mash belongs, right? If you're chucking a lump of mash with your roast beef...
I went to a party once. This is going back a good number of years. I mean, this was when I lived in Manchester. I'm talking years ago. Mm. And there was a buffet, and the buffet had mashed potato on it.
I mean, that's just yeah. not right, is it?
That
Why
is weird, isn't it?
Why is anyone chucking mash in a buffet?
Like, you got your quiche, your sausage rolls, your chicken yeah. wings,
your cocktail sausages, chuck a bit of mash on.
Bowl of mash.
And I the love other a mash. Thing... I love a mash tater, but it should not too. Be part of a roast dinner plate.
Do you know the other thing that I know, which I think is going to be slightly more controversial than this, the other thing that you have said to me in the past that doesn't belong on a roast dinner is cauliflower cheese.
Yeah, well, I was very torn. They were my two. Yeah. It was yeah. your cauliflower cheese or your mashed tater. And I do still stand by that, TBH.
I think people are going to find the cauliflower cheese thing weird.
My issue there is cheesy gravy. Cheesy gravy.
Yeah, you're not down for that.
No. Again, I just don't know. I mean, I do kind of get it. And I have eaten it before, but it's just not really my thing when you're putting a cauliflower cheese. And I love a cauliflower cheese. Do not get me wrong, Patty. I love it.
Same.
But to then pop that on a plate with all the other gubbins and then chuck gravy on it, I'm just not sure.
Do you remember when... Do you remember when Mum went through a stage when we used to have roast dinners as a kid? Of doing like that weird like leek in a tomato sauce.
Did she?
Ratatouille kind of thing. Do you remember that?
Now you've said the sort of ratatouille thing, I do have a bit of a vague memory for that actually.
And it was like, what are you doing? Dicking around with this?
Yeah.
It'd come out in the... Because we're a fan in our house of serving yourself.
A self-serve. You do
yourself. You put it all out on the table, you serve yourself.
You dig in.
But what was with that, like, leek, weird tomato? She got well into that. Bringing it out every fucking week.
Maybe. Did she have some sort of leek supplier or something?
Mum's kicking around with a burner phone just for the leeks.
Mum,
why have you got two phones? Don't touch that! Do not fucking touch that phone!
All right, Mum, chill. God. That's my leak supplier.
Just a whole load of messages about bent leaks. Yeah, I'm on the job. I've got it. They're off the back of the Tesco lorry. Don't tell anyone.
And they are really, really, really bent. Literally and physically.
It's okay though. I've got a great, weird ratatouille thing for the roast or something.
I do think, though, that she did have someone supplying her leeks, and that's what it
was.
Well,
she went nuts for it. There was a point in our life growing up where it was always leeks, always rhubarb crumble. Both of them were not supplied.
Maybe that was the thing. This supplier was able to get your leeks and rhubarb. Basically, any sort of long vegetable / fruit... He was your geezer. Do you need long fruits or long veg? Yes.
Oh okay, my god, that is so stupid but so funny. Oh god, very good, very good.
Yeah. Well, that's my take on what should be on a roast dinner plate or not be on a roast dinner plate.
I don't really have anything. I'm with you on the mash, but I'm sort of game for anything really. I like a cauliflower cheese. You know, I don't really have, for me, it probably, and even if somebody did put mash on my plate, I wouldn't be offended by it.
Oh, I would be offended.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of offence.
A chunk of mash on my roast dinner, I'd be like, do you know what? I'm leaving. Sorry. Bye.
Anyway, I wondered if we could have maybe a little, did you see Britney's wedding?
Well, I haven't actually seen much about the Britney wedding. I mean, I've seen that she got married, but I've not really like, no.
Hey, what about talking about weddings and stuff? What about Rebel Wilson?
Yes.
now. This is a big, I feel for her, you know.
I do too.
I feel like, for those people that don't know, Rebel Wilson has come out as, she's in a female relationship. She's in a relationship with another woman. And she was basically forced into putting that on her Instagram because a media outlet were going to leak it. And so she very smartly and very quickly said, I'm going to go there first and I'm going to do it first, and posted a beautiful picture of her with her new girlfriend. I just feel like, when are we going to stop making people like feel forced to do that?
I just think the whole thing about journalists having some kind of story and then making people feel like they've got to come out and say this before we do. I just think, what the hell world do we live in that
I know,
that
it's
is
awful,
okay.
Isn't it? I really feel for her, you know. Yeah.
I do too. But yeah, I hadn't really, I saw stuff. What was the big thing about Britney's wedding? Was there a big thing other than she got married?
Oh, it's just amazing that she's got married, isn't it? You think about the last few years that she's had and she's actually done it. She had her dress, actually. I think, I don't know, some geezer.
Right.
I don't know him. I don't know, just to clarify, I'm not saying I don't know him personally. I think everyone knows that I don't know Britney's husband personally. I mean, I don't know who he is. I mean, just hanging out with Britney's husband.
What's his name?
Making him elite gratitude. Get him mum to make him elite gratitude.
I reckon he'd love it, to be honest.
That's what they had as their wedding food.
Yeah, elite gratitude made by Mugs.
That and a rhubarb crumble.
Marg's special recipes.
I think you'd have really liked her dress though, Ange.
Oh yeah, I need to have a look actually, because I've seen, like I said, I've seen shit going on that, you know.
I mean, it was very, it was very Disney, you know. It was like she was in a horse and carriage. Oh yeah, I mean, it was exactly what you would expect Britney to go for.
Right, yeah, Britney to bring.
But I'd be interested to know actually what you thought of Drew Barrymore's outfit, because it's interesting.
Oh, was Drew there as well, was she?
Oh, yeah, Barrymore was there. Yeah, Selena Gomez was there. Madonna was there. Oh, yeah, it was like a real...
Oh, wow, it's a star-studded celeb batch.
Oh, it's really star... She had her dress designed by Versace.
Britney is well and truly back, bitch, isn't she?
Oh, she's back, bitches.
Britney is back, bitch.
It's Britney, bitch. Yeah, she is back.
I thought we could have a little chat about the old Love Island pats. How are you feeling? We're a week
in. Okay, so very quick top lines. If you don't listen to Love Island, sorry about that. But Ange and I, the other thing that Ange and I say is obsessed. We are obsessed with Love Island. I think it's a bit boring so far.
Do you, Pat? I think, yeah, but I think that's always the way it is at start.
I know.
Always is.
It is
that
like
first...
that
first. The weeks, you're just kind of getting used to, you know, you're getting used to who they are, what they're like. Do you like them? Do you not? I just think you've got to accept that first week or two is going to probably be a bit shit, and then it starts to heat up.
Yeah, I wanted more drama. I don't know if for like Sunday night's episode when Gemma's ex came in, I wanted more drama from that. I did want to see and feel more drama.
Do you ever feel like we watched a bit of the Unseen Bits, that's the one.
Oh, yes.
So we watched a bit of that. And when you watch that, I feel like they need to be putting more of the unseen shit in the actual episodes. Because
this is interesting.
The stuff, they have so much fun that you just don't see. Like, they had a race on inflatables in the pool. Love that shit. I mean, if I was there, I'd be racing on inflatables all day.
Well, 2023, you're going to get the cooler of them.
2023.
In you go.
But I just feel like sometimes there is so much pressure for it to be all the dramas, all the
drama,
shit's gone down, that's got shitty, she's having a mood with him and he's got a piss with her. Whereas actually, I think sometimes let's just lighten it a bit. Because
lighten this, please. Come on.
I think I need to start being involved with the Love Island productions.
Oh my God. That would be hilarious. You'd be like, girls, tits up. Tits up, personality up. No, I said up. I said up. Personality. No,
not
you
out.
Put your tits up. Personality up. 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 And then somebody just says in your ear very quietly, I'm not sure they've got much personality, Ange. Okay, fine.
Okay, well, let's ship this lot out and bring a new lot in.
Yeah. I really like Tasha. I think she's cool.
I like Tasha. I actually
I like
really
Luca.
Like, Yeah, although, yeah, I do like him, but I feel like, I don't know, I'm kind of reserving judgment there.
Sure.
I'm kind of like, Fair enough. Like him. He's quite a cheeky chap. I kind of get that. I do like, oh no, I can't think of a bloody name. The one that's
well, don't
with...
Don't do this, Ange. Oh, God, here we go.
The one that's with...
The no, one that's got a six-pack. The one that's got a six-pack and dark hair and really white well, actually, teeth. He's about 6 foot tall.
I do like Dammy.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a dude.
And I think he's going to be a grower, not a
shower.
Oh,
I agree. I agree. I agree.
But I like the girl that he's with. I can't think of her name. What's her name?
Is it Afia? No, Amber. That's the girl that's single. Amber.
Joel's
yeah, I really
Joel's
like
just giving
her.
Me the
She's
Amber.
Cool.
I think
she's cool.
Do you know what I think? I think sometimes it's the quieter ones initially that end up being your bish bash stars of the show that you kind of gradually fall more in love with. The ones that are a bit in your face, a bit out. I mean, that feckin' Sue.
Ekin-Su is an interest. She's an interesting character, isn't she?
And that's what I mean. I think, like, she's just so in your face. She's so, like, look at me. I'm going to snog his face off, but then I'm not sure if I actually do like him and I'm going to speak to someone else.
Yeah, I know. It's I know.
So, for me...
She's playing the game,
like,
though, isn't she? Ekin-Su is playing the game, for sure.
Ekin-Su. I think we should do a little sort of Love Island sort of debrief, though, most weeks. Don't you think, Pat?
Round
what
up.
Do you think people
Love
are
Island
get...
roundup. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, let's do a call to action. Let's do
yes,
a call
Patty.
To action.
Yes, Patois.
So there's a little bit of a new call to action because we have set up a Finding the Funny Gmail account.
Woohoo!
So whilst you can still find us on the socials and go and follow us for all of our clips and our content and stuff like that, if you want to tell us something, on the whole, let's try and stick to email because Ange and I lose stuff in our DMs and my inbox is a mess and I don't see requests and all of that stuff. So... You can find both Ange and I on Instagram to follow. I'm at Ruth Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Now, you can actually email us, okay? Now, take down the email. Here we go, guys. FindingTheFunnyPodcast@gmail.com. Very good, very easy, very straightforward. That is where we want to hear from you, especially
if you've got
some big shit to send us. You know,
big
some
time.
Sort of rambling email, something that's going on
big
in
time.
Your life, some sort of funny story you want to tell us. That is where we need to put it. And the fact that both Pats and I can get access to that means that we can be across that shit. As for the little call to action for this, what do you fancy having a little bit of a weekly roundup of the old Love Island? What do you think? Is that your vibe? Are you into it? Or are you a bit like, actually, it's a pile of shit. I don't want to talk about it. Let us know.
Exactly. Anyway, Ange, tell us, what has been getting on your shitting tits?
Right. The thing that has been getting on, and actually, I came up with this tits exactly a week ago. So I gave you my tits last week, which was obviously AirPods and techno and all that shit. Later that day, I had another incident, not with techno, not with AirPods.
Okay.
But with cling film. Slash
oh, God, I
foil.
Hate it. I hate cling film so much.
Cling film and foil. Now, foil, I don't think it should be an issue, but it becomes an issue, right? And I'll tell you for why. Because you think, right, your cling film, I kind of get it, it's clingy. Yeah, that's the issue. It's cling film. It's a film, it's clingy, it clings to everything. You're trying to rip it off, it's clinging to your fingers. If you're putting it over a pot or something, it's clinging to the pot and then you can't rip it.
It does exactly what it says on the tin. It clings.
It
is a clinger.
It is film. Cling film, right? So I kind of expect for that to be irritating, to have issues with that.
Right.
I don't really think I should be thinking the same when it comes to foil, tin, foil, right? Because...
Have you ever put foil on one of your fillings?
No, I have not, Pats, no.
Oh, God, it's so weird. Try it.
Why are you putting foil on a filling?
It's weird. Try it.
But why are you doing that? Why?
Why not? Why not? Shits and giggles,
so
isn't it? Try it. It's weird.
If you've got a filling in your mouth, you just put a bit of foil over it.
Well, I think what happened was once I was eating something that was wrapped in foil and there was a bit of foil left on it and it like stuck to my filling. It's such a weird feeling. It feels weird. Try it.
Wow, okay. Try that it. Was not expected. I didn't expect that.
Try it.
Anyway, back to my issues with the tin foil, right? Yeah. I expect tin foil because it's not a cling film, right? It's quite a sturdy, it's quite a sturdy girl.
Sturdy girl.
Yeah? She should rip off fairly well. I shouldn't have too many issues with foil. Right. But what happens is, foils that I've bought, and I've currently got this foil, and maybe it's not a brand thing, I don't know. Anyway, sometimes bits of foil get stuck, or there's a little sticky bit on the roll, right? So you're ripping the foil, and you think you're ripping a full sheet, but actually it's got stuck at a point on the roll, so it ends up whizzing down, so you end up with, rather than a full sheet of foil, a strip of foil, because the whole thing has got stuck on the roller. Right. And then you have to go back and find where it's stuck, and you can't always find that bit, so you keep going.
This is a very in-depth... This is a very in-depth tip, Sash. We're really going somewhere. Well, I think you should have stuck with your cling film. I get the thing about foil, but I...
No, I think...
She's not having it. She's not having it.
I think any of those shits, right, any of those things in a roll... The other issue I have with it is, and this applies to both the cling film and the foil, is the tubes that they're in, the boxes, that they're so flimsy. And you start using it and then it starts falling out the bottom of the thing and the cardboard breaks up and then you're like shitting trying to hold the thing in the box and pull it and rip it.
That is true. That technique of like cradling it like a baby.
Oh, shit, it's going to fall out there. I'm going to have to hold it there and try and rip it. And
you know what you need to do? Next time you go to Costco, you need to get industrial.
Right. And
you
I
need
get
to get
that,
your
right?
industrial.
No. I'm with you. I sometimes think, right, do you know what, Ange? Just bin off the shit things you get in the supermarket because they're shit and they're annoying, right? And go for your big, you know, industrial style.
I know what you're going to say. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Where do you fucking keep
Where do you store it?
Yes! It's all well and good saying, get a big fuck off cling film packet. But where the fuck do I put that? And yes, it might be an easy tear because you have the things, the little plastic bit you fold down and whoosh, whip it off. I like them. I actually, if I was in an industrial kitchen, I'd like that shit.
If I was in an industrial kitchen, I'd be dicking around with the cling film
I
foil all day.
I actually would have great fun. Slap it down, whip it off. Slap it down, whip it off.
You'd be
that.
Able to say, you'd go into the industrial kitchen and say, it's fine, Janice, I'll be on wrapping today.
Okay, what needs wrapping? I'm on it. Yeah.
Whack it down,
rip it off. I love that stuff. I think it's great. But why don't Costco, and I know it's because it's the bulk buy shit, right? But surely they could make a smaller version of some of these things. Why does everything have to be for giants?
I know. Well, do you remember we did that barbecue at yours and we had to buy like 35,000 rolls?
Exactly. Yeah. And there's 8 of us, but we've had to come away with 80 baps.
When you rip off a cling film, right, and then it sticks to your arm and you're trying to get it off, and then by the time you get to the thing you actually want to fucking wrap, there's no cling left because it's come to every single thing else at the surface. And you're like, well, that's shit now. I've got to throw it away.
Yeah, there's no cling. It's just film.
There's no cling. The cling has clung to me. It's clung to the bread bin. It's clung to the kitchen side. It's clung to that mug. And this sandwich that I want to wrap, it's fuck all clinging going on.
Yeah. Also, I've noticed when Ian wraps things in cling film, he wraps them like 100 times. You know, like a packet of ham. And I go to get a bit of ham out, late night ham ram, if I'm going that way. Yeah. And I have to unravel it for half an hour. Bang, bang. But I'm like, Italian, how much cling film do you want to put around the packet of ham?
Whereas Marty, A, doesn't ever wrap anything in cling. Well, but if he does, it's like one tiny bit of square on the cheese and the rest of the cheese is hard. I'm like, what is the point of that? Don't bother, mate. Just don't bother. Maybe we need to get them together for a cling film exercise.
Yeah, you know, you start to reduce, Ian. Marty, you just increase. And then we're on a good vibe. We're on a good base balance level. Good base balance level. Yeah.
But and also cling film is bad for the environment, isn't it?
It is, and I do feel that as well, which is why I sort of think. Yeah. Oh dear.
Somebody's just died in the background.
Someone's having an issue with cling film in the kitchen.
somebody's lost it with a roll of cling film.
But that's why, because of the environmental.
Yeah,
I like saying
environmental.
Yeah, environmental. Because of that, that's why I think, well, let's use more foil.
Yeah.
Right? Because we can recycle the foil. So, yeah, that's my tits, Pats.
The cling film thing. I get the cling film thing. Yeah, it is annoying.
Not so much the foil.
Not so much your foilage. No, okay. I'm okay. I can use a foilage. Right, we're going to try a new segment here, Ange.
We are.
Okay, so this is a section called Rock Band, Racehorse or Porno. And I'm going to give Ange a statement and she has to decide, is it a rock band, is it a racehorse, or is it a porno?
Right, okay, let's see how we go
so
with this.
So this week's Rock Band, Racehorse, Porno is called Kissing the Pink.
Kissing the Pink. Now.
Kissing the Pink.
Okay, now my first thought straight away was porno. But then I'm like, is that sort of a bit
of a... Is that too obvious?
Yes. You know, kissing the pink could, you know, in a sexual way, there could be a lot of pink you can kiss with sexy things.
There is a lot of pink kissing when you have sex.
There is. You know, there's a lot of pink action, isn't there? Pink. What is there that's pink, really? Just labias, I suppose. Is they sort of pink? Pink labias. Nipples can sometimes be pink, can't they? Although mine are quite brown. So I'm sort of thinking, that was my first thoughts. But I think that's probably too obvious for it to be the porno.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it again? What was it called? Kissing the Pink.
Kissing the Pink. Now, try and imagine it as a, here we come, we're coming up to the third hurdle now, the third hurdle's coming, we've got Kissing the Pink coming on, Kissing the Pink's coming in, third one, Kissing the Pink's down, she's down. Can you hear that it as a racehorse? Does,
yeah, I can actually hear that, actually, Kissing the
you
Pink.
You can hear that as a racehorse.
I can.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure I can hear it as a rock band.
Or, ladies and gentlemen, it's the rock band you've all been waiting for. Please welcome to the stage, for one night only, Kissing the Pink.
That sounds shit. It's not a rock band.
That sounds like horseshit.
Yeah, that's not, you know, you don't have a band called Kissing the Pink. No.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So you're torn between porno or racehorse. You're whacking out the band.
Yeah, band's out for
me. Torn. Band
is out. It's between the racehorse or the porno. And I think I'm going to go racehorse.
It's not a racehorse.
Oh, what is it? A porno then?
It is not a porno.
It's a rock band called Kissing the
Pink.
It's
a rock band called Kissing the Pink.
Well, I can't imagine they've been that successful.
Well, they're in the game racehorse porno or rock band, so you can be the judge of that. Whether they've carved and they've landed in this game.
There you go.
Kissing the Pink. They are a band.
Okay. And well, that the one I'm straight away dismissing is that actually what it was.
Well, I think I did quite well at throwing you off with the coming down the
you
right
did,
now
actually,
we've got
yeah.
Kissing the Pink. Like that was quite a good impression of a horse commentator giving it the old kissing the pink. And Kissing the Pink. Like, I think you were like, oh, I could hear it as that.
Yeah.
A porno felt too obvious.
Yes.
But you could hear the horse. Mm. Yeah. I would like to be a horse commentator.
I actually think you could do that, Pats, actually.
Yeah. I do. You can get some like stations, like some TV channels where they have like lay people doing the commentating. Because it's just it's just loud, fast talking, which is like beautiful for me.
Well, you can do it. You are a loud, fast talker.
fast. Exactly. Whenever I talk, everyone's like, quietly, slow down. Whereas I'd be well in, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
That and also Formula One.
What you could... Why is that? That's not loud, fast talking, is it?
Think about Murray, whatever it was. Whoever, go, 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 Ferrari! He used to do all that shit, didn't he?
Did you just call him Cop Cop? Something or other.
I can't remember what his first name was.
Wouldn't it be great, Pat? Like, I sometimes think we're wasted here, to be honest. I mean, we're not, because we're still, we're still doing a lot of good shit.
Brilliant.
But I sort of think there's a lot of things that we could be doing in a lot of variety of fields. Horse racing, Formula One, even cricket. I'd even give cricket a bash, because those umpires, they do a lot of hand signals.
Yeah, but I'd like to commentate on the cricket.
Yeah, would you? Yeah, I think rather you'd actually be a good commentator, you would.
I actually agree with that, because commentators have verbal diarrhea.
Yes, yes. I mean, you can
Which
chat.
Which is essentially me.
Shit. Yeah. But you are very good at, observing what's going on and then being able to kind of verbalise that.
Fill in.
You're a great filler.
I am a great, and welcome to Finding the Funny with Ruth and Ange. Ruth is the filler.
You are that.
Ange is your real meaty, gritty content. Ruth, you're your filler.
Well, I'm definitely not the meaty, gritty content.
Oh,
but
you are.
Definitely,
that's what you bring, Angie.
You definitely are very good at just kind of, seeing something, chatting about it, or going, actually, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. You're very... snappy.
I think I could really find a place in commentating. I really do.
I actually think you could. Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean,
might
you'd obviously
try
have to learn a lot of names for things, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Horses, players. Yeah.
But you know.
But I think you could do that.
That's it. Mm. Oh, I've got a good memory.
Oh, you absolutely have, Pat. I mean, I basically think the whole Rob and Romish versus.
Yeah.
Could actually be Patty and Ange versus.
Very easily. Totally
we could
agree.
Be the female very version easily. Of that.
So if no anybody wants all. To commission that show,
get
we're
in touch.
In for it.
Drop us an email at
but the listen, funny we want you to send us
gmail.com.
We want you to find us Rock Band, Racehorse or Porno. We want you to send them to us so that we can both try and guess. So we've teed it up this week. We've given you one. You can Google it. There's loads of different ones. So if you want us to read out your Rock Band, Racehorse or Porno next week, email us. It's very simple. It's findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on all the social media platforms. But if it's content you want to send us, that is the place to do it.
Yes, please. Thank you.
We're mixing up this week, Ange. We're going to go straight into our dilemma.
We are. Yeah, I've just kind of looked at the prep and I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing that here, aren't we? So we had another great dilemma in this week from somebody who we will obviously keep anonymous. And this person says, so I listened to you talking about sexuality in the dilemma section a few weeks ago, and it made me think about asking for some help. Please keep me anonymous. Ashamed, I'm a 30-year-old virgin for various reasons. Not finding the right person, self-confidence issues, trust issues, and some other problems I can't go into. But now I feel like I'm never going to meet anyone due to it. Every now and again, I get the courage to try dating sites, etc. But when it gets to the meeting part or chance of anything going to the next stage, I get scared. I'm scared they're going to think I'm pathetic or stupid for still being a virgin and just run a mile. Any advice would be really appreciated. Thanks.
So for me, I think there's a couple of things here. I think firstly, this is so easy for me to say and much harder to do, but like, don't feel ashamed of it. Like when I first read this, I felt really sad that you'd said ashamed I'm a 30-year-old virgin. And I think that is just society saying that you must have had sex by a certain age. And that isn't true. Yeah. I would, if you can, try and change some of your language internally for yourself and just own the fact that you're 30 and you haven't had sex with anybody. And you know what? It's not that old.
That's okay.
It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And don't don't let society make you feel like that is something to be ashamed of, because I'm telling you, it absolutely is not. And secondly, I would just say, really simply, like, try not to build this up as a massive thing in your head. Like, if you meet somebody that you're attracted to and that you like and that you think likes you back, that the first time you have sex is probably not going to be great anyway. Like, don't try not to build it up and just think, the next person that I meet that I feel like I've got some sort of connection with, or I feel like I could go to the next level with, just try and relax and just do it is what I would say. But definitely get rid of the word ashamed. Like, there's you have absolutely nothing to feel ashamed of at all.
Absolutely not. And I also think there will be so many other people who are in the same place you are. Like, I think this, like you say, this societal issue that makes you think, oh, you've got to have done it by this point, and if you haven't done it then it's just never going to happen. And I actually think there are a lot more people in the place that you're finding yourself than you would ever imagine or think. So you are not alone in this. I'm absolutely sure of that. And it's hard, because I can totally understand how this person feels, because it is, you know, if I take myself back to the first time I had sex with someone, it is quite a daunting thing to do. And it is a very, you're being very vulnerable with somebody and opening yourself up to maybe getting hurt, or maybe not being what you wanted it to be or expecting it to be. There's so much expectation put on that. And I think just try and kind of lose some of that expectation. Just keep going with how you want to meet people, whether that is on dating sites or if it's not working for you, if it's going to those sort of speed dating events. I'm assuming that they still happen and you can kind of go to those, because I do think there's something about being in a room with somebody or a lot of people and working your way, because I think you probably can pick up quite quickly whether you like someone, whether there's someone you'd like to sort of see again. And having just those 5 minute little interviews for you to sort of think, actually, I quite like that person. And then just allow yourself to take it slow and take your time. And if it happens, you know, if you happen to meet somebody that you really feel like, this is someone I could build a relationship with, I could become intimate with, then just go with it. But just, I think, take all this pressure off yourself, because there is no, there's no set time you have to do these things in. Just because you're 30 and lots of people happens at, I don't know, 17, 18, 25, it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
And I also, I also feel like, I actually think it's a really special thing that you have gotten to the age you are and you haven't had sex with. I actually find that amazing. I think, good on you for not feeling like you have to do it.
I also think there's, you know, there's this, just this running commentary, isn't there, in society. Like, you think about the film 40 Year Old Virgin, that was like just poking fun at people that hadn't had sex yet. Or, you know, there's this like big thing of like, oh god, you're, and you know, this pressure on people to you know, show somebody else the intimate parts of their body, the pressure to do something that very deeply connects you to somebody, you know. I think that there is, even still now, the message is still the same from when I was growing up. Like, when did you first have sex? Have you had sex yet? Like, you know, what was it like? Who did you do it with? And I just think we've got to just, all of those things, we've got to take that away, haven't we? Not getting married, not having a baby, not having had sex by a certain age, not having got a promotion. Like, society has got to start to say there's absolutely no rules to any of it. And if you get to 30, 40, even 50, and you've never had sex with anybody, who cares? It doesn't define you as a person. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to feel. And that, the very first time I read this message, it was the word ashamed that I was like, oh God, I really want this person just to feel that it doesn't matter. And it's, if you're saying, look, I would have liked it to have happened by now, that's one thing, and that's absolutely your feelings, and that's absolutely for you to figure out and to own. But don't have shame around it. Don't be ashamed, and definitely don't let it be society that tells you you should have done it, because it's not true. And I would just say, then just try and, like Ange said, lower the expectation. Lower the thought process in your head. Try not to overthink it. And if you happen to meet somebody now, next year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, who you and if you don't, that's absolutely okay as well. That, like, there's no rules to any of this. So
no,
just you know, continue to be you. It doesn't change the person that you are. It doesn't make you a better or a worse person. Just go with it. And if you meet somebody and you get on a dating site, or you go to a speed dating, or you're out in a club and you think, actually, I quite like this person, but don't be in a rush to give it away. There's no point. You don't want to regret it.
Absolutely not. No, I think, you know, just take your time with it. Take the pressure off yourself. Go and meet people in different situations as and when you can and when you want to. And just, see where it goes, and just take all that pressure off you from going, oh my gosh, I'm 30 and I still haven't had sex. Who cares? Yeah. Nobody. Exactly. And as long as you feel comfortable, then just go with what you feel. But thank you so much for sending that in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Angie. Hit us with your urban.
Okay. Today's urban is meet and greet. Meet, just to be clear, is spelt M-E-A-T. Meet and greet.
It's some kind of food.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe food, yeah.
Or is this going back to the kissing the pink? Are we looking at some kind of other sort of meat, like a someone pork sword or something like that?
Pork sword. Pork sword. That is a great name. Pork sword.
We're talking about Roger getting his pork sword out for a meet and greet. Just quickly on that, and then I will guess the urban. Me and Matthew once were in a hotel, and Matthew had to nip back to the room to get his wallet. And as I was sat there was this couple next to me who had been like celebrating their anniversary, and they were sort of talking about the day they got married and stuff like that. And then the woman, they had like real London accents, and the woman said, "Oh, I don't know what to have. I don't know what to have to eat. I don't know what to have to eat, babe." And he went, Think about it. Do you want meat in your mouth?" As soon as Matthew came back, I was like, as we walked off, I was like, that guy that was sat next to us, he just said to his wife, think about it. Do you want meat in your mouth? And he just cracked up. And now every so often, if one of us can't decide what we want to eat, the other one will just go, think about it. Do you want meat in your mouth?
In your mouth.
You can have some pork sold later, love, if you want. Go veggie now, have meat in your mouth later. Now have the meat in your mouth later.
Yeah, keep your meat taste buds for later, love. Yeah, with pork salt. Yeah.
Anyway, meet and greet. I don't know. It must be something to do with like steak or something.
Steak. Okay, here we go. When two parties knowingly meet each other for the first time, most likely over the internet, knowing that the key reason is to have intercourse. Friend.
No.
So, whatever happened with that girl that friended you on Facebook? Response. In simplest terms, meet and greet. Meet with an A.
Why is it spelled with... It must be something to do with the pork sword.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, hello, love. Fancy quick meet and greet. Bang, let's go.
There's a Channel 4 documentary in that. Called simply meet and greet. There is absolutely a 10:30 p.m. Channel 4 show in that meet and greet.
Basically, Naked Attraction followed by meet and greet. Yeah, you could actually do a follow-up.
Naked Attraction. Naked Attraction is a great show, isn't it? Meet and greet. So it's basically people who sit on the internet and they're like, I fancy meeting up with another couple. Is it just with other couples or is it single people as well?
It's just singletons. And I don't think it's obviously a term like in the Urban Dictionary for, you know, quick shag with someone, but they call it a meet and greet because you don't necessarily know them. You just this guy saying, whatever happened to that girl that friended you on Facebook? So obviously she's been scrolling through, thought, hello, he's all right. Hello. I'll just send him a friend request. Next thing you know, we're meeting up for a meet and greet. Meet with an A.
I don't know why it's with an A, though. That's what I can't get my head around.
Because you're having this meet. You're having this meet.
It is to do with, do you want meat in your mouth?
Yes. It's absolutely that. It's not, I'm meeting up to give you a handshake, hello, welcome to the venue.
The guy replied just saying, thanks for the friend request, do you want meat in your mouth?
Basically, yes.
If you do, here's my details.
Yeah, here's my deets. Let's meet here. Yeah. Friday night, 7 o'clock, bish, bash, bosh. Have me meet.
Right.
See you later.
Been a bit different this week, hasn't it, Andrew? You've done a little...
Do you know what? I feel absolutely revived.
Invigorated.
Refreshed.
You had to do a lot of bloody refreshing coming onto this record this morning with your bloody techno vibes.
Yeah. You know, just because I've now shared my tips around techno issues, nothing has actually changed.
No.
It's still shit.
In fact, it's got worse. The techno's heard and gone, right, we're going to really show her now.
We're really going to piss her off now. And they bloody have.
And she have this. Bloody but shit. We need a lot of input, don't we, from our listeners and Jay.
We do, Pat. We feel like we would like you to be very much part of our podcast and provide us with some shiz. Yep. That we would like you to send in various forms of various things, patois.
Yes. So we want, as I said earlier in the episode, we really want to hear your rock band, racehorse or porno suggestions. So you can Google it. You can. I think it'd be really funny if Andrew and I were both trying to guess. So rather than one of us bring it, we want to hear them from you. We want all of this stuff, the rock band, racehorse porno, the other stuff that we're going to talk about. We want most of it to come through to our new email address so that we can keep it all in the same place. We don't lose any of your lovely suggestions. Mm-hmm. That email address again is findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. Also within that, we'd love it if you could send us two truths and a lie about yourself. And Ange and I have to figure out which is the truth, which is the lie, and try and work out, you know, what that isn't as part of that game. So they're two things you can get involved with.
And I think my favourite that we've kind of come up with is we want to hear your biggest secrets.
Mm.
I am so excited to hear this stuff. I want to know all those little, you know, juicy little things that you've kept secret for a long time, or maybe not even a long time. Maybe it's a fresh secret. Maybe it's a new secret.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear and love to receive from you actual voice notes of you telling us your secrets. So you can send us a voice note via the socials.
Yeah.
So that can be on our personal Instagrams. I'm at Ange Corden. Patty is at Ruth Corden because she's actually Ruth, not Patty. We can disguise voices as well.
Yes.
So we will not, you know, if we play your voice note in, we will disguise the voice so that someone who's listening won't go, oh, holy shit, that's Karen down the road.
That's, you know, Karen whatever. And Brenda.
That's Karen and Brenda, whatever it might be. So we can disguise voices, but we just think it would be a really nice part of the podcast to have your actual voices being played in, telling us your biggest secret. So I'm actually really excited about that. And obviously, if you don't feel comfortable with the whole voice note shenanigans, email us on the new email, which is findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com.
Also, if you're new around here, or even if you're old around here and you haven't liked, rated or subscribed to the podcast, we would absolutely love it if you could do that. So you can do that on Spotify now as well as Apple, wherever you listen. If you can like us, rate us and subscribe, that would be great. You can email us findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. But Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.